Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
Each year, flocks of birds fly from their feeding areas in autumn to places with milder climates. Here they wait out the snowy months of winter until they can return to their feeding grounds and build their nests again. Some bird species migrate thousands of miles each year. Our Creator God has programmed these birds' instincts so well that they'll return to the same spot they were feeding in the previous year. The people of God migrated a few times in their long history in the Old Testament of the Bible. The first migration started when Abraham was called by God to leave his people in the city of Ur on the Euphrates River and go where God was guiding him. Abraham obeyed God, even though he didn't know where God was taking him. He travelled most of the length of the Euphrates River before turning southwest through the eastern coastal regions of the Mediterranean Sea, down to the Nile River region in Egypt, and then back to the promised land of Canaan. Abraham's grandson Jacob took his family to Egypt to escape a seven-year drought in the land that became known as Israel. Over 400 years later, under Moses' leadership, God moved the Israelites back to their promised land. He gave them that land on the condition that they would be true to him. If they didn't trust and obey him, he promised to take them out of the land again. Following many warnings over sin and idolatry, God exiled the northern nation of Israel to Assyria in 721 BC. These Israelites never returned to their land again. God's promise of a never-ending rule for King David's descendants thus depended on the southern kingdom of Judah staying true to him. Many prophets were sent to the kings of Judah and the people to encourage them to keep worshipping Almighty God, their help in times of trouble. The last of these prophets was Jeremiah. He warned the Judean people that Jerusalem would soon fall to the Babylonian army, but this time the people didn't believe him. Jeremiah encouraged the people to believe God's promise that he would bring them back to their land again by buying a plot of ground and storing away the title deeds very carefully. He himself wouldn't benefit from the purchase, but it was a sign that the people could have faith in God's promises. When Babylon attacked and destroyed Judah in 588 BC, the conquered slaves of Judah were moved in three stages to the city of Babylon, a journey on foot which covered over 600 miles. Only the poor people were allowed to remain in the countryside of Judah. Daniel was among the first group of captives to leave Judah in 605 BC. He and his three friends were probably teenagers at the time.
You four have successfully passed all the tests. Now you will be given 3 years of intensive studies in all the learning of the Chaldeans. As Judean royalty, you will have a special servant to see that you want for nothing. This is he. Take over, Melzar.
Oh, yes, sir. First, let's get acquainted. My name, as you just heard, is Melzar. And yours?
Daniel, sir.
Hananiah.
Mishael. Azariah.
It is going to be a real pleasure to serve you, but we must change your Israelite names to Babylonian ones. Belteshazzar. And you, Shadrach. You, Meshach. And you, Abednego. As for quarters and provisions, you will remain here in the palace and eat meat and drink wine from the king's own table. For some reason, Ashpenaz has taken a special liking to you four. So have I. Well, there's no doubt in his mind or mine that you will go far in the mightiest kingdom on earth, Babylon.
Well, the Lord of Israel is certainly blessing
us. Yes. Now, just think, here we are, prisoners of war, yet we get to live in the palace and eat directly from the king's own table.
And that, my three worthies, worries me. Mm-hmm. The meat prepared for the king has first been offered to and supposedly been blessed by their god. If we eat, we will, in effect, be paying homage to their god and showing disrespect for our god. Also, my personal opinion is that such food as nuts, herbs, vegetables develop the mind and body better than meat. And we're going to need all the physical and mental strength we can muster for the next 3 years.
Imagine that's very hard. Well, come to think of it, though, It's a small matter. Is it worth fussing about?
Small or large, we mustn't yield. If we yield in small matters, it becomes easier to yield in large ones. And we do know it would be better if we didn't eat the king's meat. I shall ask Ashpenaz for permission to eat only nuts, herbs, vegetables, drink only water.
I'm sorry, I really am, that Ashpenaz said no. He's afraid a diet of vegetables and water will make you pale and thin. He's fearful lest the king blame him and chop off his head.
I appreciate and understand his feeling, but may I suggest, Melzar, sir, that you test us and see for yourself? Give us pulse to eat, water to drink for just 10 days. Then compare our countenance with the countenance of those who have eaten from the king's table.
Fair enough, Daniel. It shall be done, but only for 10 days. I wouldn't have believed it, and I don't understand it, Daniel. But the days are over, and you four are fairer in complexion and more firm of flesh than those who ate the king's meat and drank his wine. I shall give the order. Henceforth you shall eat and drink as pleases you.
I don't know, Daniel, if I'll make the grade or not. These subjects are deep and hard to understand.
I doubt if we have anything to worry about. Not so long as we study hard, do all we can, and remain true to God, he'll give us understanding and knowledge.
The 3 years are up. Now the most difficult task of all lies ahead, the examinations.
Oh, you have nothing to worry about. You four are by far the most industrious, sincere, considerate, and kind men I have ever known. You will pass the examinations with honors. I know it.
Long live Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon.
Well, well. So you are the four that I've been hearing about. You haven't been told, have you, how you fared in the final examinations?
No, Your Majesty.
Good. I wanted to tell you myself. Well, you passed.
Thank you, Your Majesty.
I sent for you because I desire to know how you did it.
We just did the best we could, Your Majesty.
The best you could? The best you could do was 10 times better than any of the others. You're 10 times wiser, quicker to understand, more gracious. I want to know how you did it.
We just studied, Your Majesty, and did our best. The Lord our God did the rest. He gave us wisdom and understanding. See, we worship him. Obey his word in reverence and trust him in all things.
10 times wiser. Unbelievable, yet true. 10 times.
Once the captives arrived in Babylon, many settled down in farming communities with conditions that weren't harsh. Some Judeans, like Daniel and his friends, became important in the court of the king of Babylon. So why did God take the people of Judah from their promised land to Babylon? For over 400 years, the people had not obeyed God's command to rest all the farmed land every 7th year. This is recorded in the Old Testament book of Leviticus, chapter 25. God used this resting of the farming land to show that he would provide for the people that year if they didn't grow anything. It was a test of faith to trust him. Constant farming depletes the soil of nutrients, and the crops grown in it become poorer in quality and subject to insect pests over time. The Judean captives remained in Babylon for 70 years, and this gave the soil the rest it needed. God chose Babylon to be the Judean people's home in exile to teach them about idol worship. The people of Judah had wanted to worship carved statues of gods that were unable to walk or hear or speak. The Lord spoke through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 46 of his book, saying, "To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me, that we may be alike?" And in chapter 40 God said, "Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, doesn't faint or grow weary, there is no searching of his understanding." The Judean captives found Babylon was crowded with idol statues everywhere. If the Judean people wanted to reject their mighty creator to worship useless statues instead, they could have their fill of statues in Babylon. But they didn't. When the people returned back to Judah, they stopped making idols. The people of God these days can make idols too by how they regard the Lord God in their minds. Wrong ideas about God can lead us to think of God more like an easygoing, indulgent grandfather than a God of holiness who is unable to have sin in his presence. People tend to reduce God's character to their size to make God more comfortable to them and to their way of life. In our imagination, we can picture God in heaven as being different from what we read of him in the scriptures. God looks for our absolute trust in him, no matter what the difficulties of our lives are at any given time. Even in times of tragedy, accept that God knows best and is working in our lives according to his purposes. We can't expect him always to give us an answer to our question, why? Some things we will never understand this side of heaven. Yet we can say confidently with Job in chapter 13 of his book, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Is this too difficult for us to do? We need to pray for spiritual growth and depend on him to help us to mature our love in him. God's sovereignty is supreme. He's not an absentee landlord, but instead an attentive carer of his workmanship. Daniel understood this when he declined the king of Babylon's food after it had been dedicated to idols. Daniel didn't want to offend his watchful God by doing something small that displeased or dishonored him. Daniel wanted God's blessings in such uncertain times. In Daniel's book, chapter 1, it says that God gave Daniel and his three friends knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. They received God's favor because they were faithful to him. It is true that if we seek good habits in the little things, it'll be easier to do the right thing in the really big decisions. The Lord Jesus, in one of his last parables, spoke about faithfulness in little things. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, he told a story about three servants who were given 3 months' wages to trade with while their master was away on a long trip. When the master finally returned, he called in his servants to give an account of their work while he'd been away. The first of the servants brought in what he had been given and what he had earned. He'd managed to double the money entrusted to him. His master said, "Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. Have you realized that a day is coming when all of us must give an account of what we've done with our lives?" In the New Testament book of Romans, chapter 14, it says, "Each of us shall give account of himself to God." On that day, will we stand strong and unashamed of how we spent our time on earth? Have we allowed idols to creep in between us and God? There'll be no secrets hidden then, and all will be revealed. It's far better to come before God each day while we can, confessing our sins and asking for help to live his way. If you never understood the Lord Jesus Christ's redeeming work to take away all your wrongdoing in your life, ask him today to be your Savior from sin and to guide you always in his way of truth. That was Guy Penrod singing, "My God Shall Supply All Your Needs." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus is